Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, well, today on Facebook Live, we named the show The Divided States of Disturbia because I don't know if we're going to go back to normal. That's my question for you. Do you think America is going to return back to some state of normalcy, something like we experienced prior to COVID? Or has COVID changed this nation forever? Or has, now that we're into the reaction to George Floyd's murder and the protests and the rioting and the looting, and then we have Chaz. Did you get your tickets to go visit Chaz yet out in Seattle? That's the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, now known as Chaz, C-H-A-Z. So they've taken over a six-block area of Seattle. The head of the police there is like, don't look at me. I didn't do it. It wasn't my idea. It's the mayor there who's completely off the rocker, and a city council member who's also part of it. And they've literally taken over a six-block area of Seattle. And you've got – it's kind of funny because they've got a bunch of – he's got Antifa types there, anti-government, anti-Trump, anti-order, anti-law and order, anti-police. Yet they have armed guards. That's kind of funny. I'm looking at a picture right here. A volunteer work security at an entrance to the so-called Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, Chaz, just a couple days ago. He's got an AR-15 and a bulletproof vest on. And, of course, he's got his mask on because you can't be too careful these days with the coronavirus, right? And so they put up blockades. They put up walls. They have armed guards. Sounds a lot like the government, doesn't it? And now there's some reports that they're asking businesses to pay fees in order to continue to do business there in the Chaz, in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. That sounds like a government, because if you don't have governance, if you don't have laws, if you don't have law enforcement, you don't have a society. You just have anarchy. And don't call it Chaz. Call it Mogadishu. Call it Somalia, because that's what you get. And guess who takes over? Warlords take over. Might makes right. So maybe it's the situation in Seattle that's got you most concerned. And I'm just curious today, and I'll open up the phones to you. Do you think America as we know it is over? We're going into a new normal. We're trying to find our way into a new normal. So that's my question for you. Are you concerned that we're not going to go back to, quote unquote, the way we were, which now sounds sentimental? Do you think we'll recover from COVID-19? Do you think that we'll get to some place where the people that are protesting and concerned about the police, and you've got movements like in Minneapolis, which they're going to pull off, and dismantle and replace the police with what? We'll see. But the whole civil unrest around the country based on a few issues with the police here and there in terms of unarmed black men that have been killed, which the number this year is 4. Last year was 9. We're not talking about stops and just general challenges in the African-American community when it comes to law enforcement, which we've talked to several people over the last couple weeks about that. It's real. How widespread is it? That's debatable if you're willing to look at the facts. So are we going to recover from that, from civil unrest, from the protesting? Because you got a lot of people that would normally be in, they got out of school, and there's a lot of young people in these protests, and they're not getting summer jobs because we've lost 42, 43 million jobs. And even if we got back 2.5 million jobs every month like we did in May, it's going to take 18 months to get all that back. Are you worried? Are you concerned that America, as we have known her, is gone? What are you most concerned about as an American citizen right now? And again, is it the COVID thing? Is it the civil unrest? Maybe it's you're concerned about the racial strife, the racial division. That's only going to get worse. Maybe you're concerned about the police situation. That's my question for you. 866-348-7884 is the number today. 866-348-7884. I would love to hear from you. And how are you feeling about the state of our nation? How are you feeling about the United States of America? Are you concerned? Do you think that maybe we're just not going to go back and we got to find a new normal? And it's just and what's upsetting you the most? What are you most concerned about? Maybe it's the election in November. I just wanted to open up the phones to you. I've had a lot of guests on a lot of talking. and want to do some more listening as well. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think America, as we have known her, is over? Now we're in the divided states of Disturbia. Are we going to go back to the way we were? Maybe you say we should never go back to the way we were. It was lousy. And if you want to call in and say that, make that case, that's fine as well. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Polly calling in from North Carolina. Polly, you're on with Steve. Thanks so much for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of statements. First of all, I don't know that we need to have America to go back like it was. I think we need to take a break and step back and look at the way things we're doing here in America and have a second chance to build a better country. The second thing I have to say is with the block or whatever it is over in Seattle, mm-hmm. I think that they need to understand that if they don't have a police force, that they're only going to be able to be free for so long before the military are going to be able to step in and take over. And they're not going to have any concerns about keeping the neighborhood happy. They're going to come in and do what needs to be done and not look back.
Yeah, so if there's
some... Go ahead. If they want to continue that way, there was a movie came out years ago called Escape from New York.
Yeah.
They took the island and blocked it off and let the people stay there. Of course, they were prisoners, but they let them stay there and just run themselves. And that's maybe what these people want to do. They want to be an island beside themselves with no strings to nobody else.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point. And, Polly, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that today. If you want to follow up with that, what are you most concerned about? Maybe you think we shouldn't go back to the way we were. What's bad about the way we were? And we're talking about 6 months ago. Okay, we're talking about January. And just, is it even possible? Can we return to any sense of normalcy in this country? Whether it's COVID-19 and what's going to happen this summer at states, you know, that some of the states are seeing some numbers creep back up. The federal government's like, it's okay. The head of the Surgeon General said, don't freak out. It's a little bit here and there, but generally as a nation, we're doing better. But here in North Carolina, they just said the other day, I think it was in the press conference yesterday, Sandy Cohen's like, well, we might start thinking about going back to a stay-at-home order. Do you feel hopeful that America's going to be able to recover? 866-348-7884, feeling positive or negative. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hope you're having a great day. And let's make sure if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to be praying about all these things, the state of our nation, for leadership, for the police, for protesters, for everybody involved, Americans in general, because this is so beyond any of us to really completely understand and control. There's a spirit of the age that's going on. There's a lot of darkness out there, a lot of confusion and chaos. There's anarchy, there's Antifa, there's the Black Lives Matter organization, which is completely radical, anti-biblical, Marxist. And there's the situation in Seattle. You've got Lady Antebellum, the country western group, just changed their name to Lady A because Antebellum means prior to the Civil War. And they're worried about by calling themselves Lady Antebellum, which they say Lady A, which what does the A stand for? I can't really tell you. Like the cat's out of the bag, you guys. It's cancel culture. And as I saw that article, I saw this happen just the other day. As protests over the horrific police killing of George Floyd developed into looting, vandalism, and arson across America, destroying black lives and livelihoods, rioters targeted Civil War monuments, specifically those honoring figures from the Confederacy like Robert E. Lee. In Boston, however, because nobody knows their history anymore, rioters vandalized a memorial to black patriots who risked their lives to fight for the Union and against race-based slavery. Oops, this is an article on pjmedia.com. Rioters vandalized the Robert Gould Shaw 54th Regiment Monument, which celebrates the first all-volunteer black regiment of the Union Army during the Civil War. 1,000 men signed up just after President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Just think about that. Liz Vizza, executive director of Friends of the Public Garden, told ABC affiliate. These are men who, if they were captured in the South, would be enslaved or murdered. But this cause was so important to them, they signed up to go fight for their freedom. So the thing that they're supposed to be protesting about in terms of racism, Black Lives Matter, and all the like, which I think is pretty well represented by this Robert Gould Shaw 54th Regiment monument, and then they deface it because they don't understand history. They don't know history. And it's just rage, and it's out of control, and it's godlessness, ultimately. Take the issues out of it. It's godlessness. That kind of behavior is godlessness. When you are, it's chaos, which is exactly what Satan's all about. And that's why Martin Luther King and Walter Strickland yesterday on the show mentioned, you know, that the quote that a lot of people have used in the last couple of weeks, that rioting is the language of the unheard. But then you go on and read the rest of the quote where Martin Luther King Jr. completely decried violence and rioting and looting, saying that it's ultimately they're not going to solve anything. So are you hopeful or not about the United States of America? We get rid of the police shows, right? Some, Lisa on Facebook Live, no live PD. Cops is gone. Paw Patrol about for little kids and animals that are out there doing good. They're, you can't have that. We've got to get rid of that. Well, that's just all horrible, terrible stuff. They're renaming streets in certain cities. That's really remarkable. So do you feel like we can get back to something that you're excited about? Do you think America can bounce back from this, or do you think we're forever changed? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Irene calling in from North Carolina. Irene, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, Steve. You know, I believe with God, all things are possible. And there is that promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14, but I think it will take every Christian fasting and praying, because this is a spiritual battle, and repenting. Because, you know, I've been a believer involved in church for the last 40 years, and I've seen the church change from being a church that had prayer meetings to being churches that did away, many of them, with prayer meetings. And then the emphasis was all on the mega churches, and the churches turned into businesses, and it was raking in the money, yeah. And everybody wanted to be a TV preacher. And, you know, we have also strayed, and not all of us, but many have strayed, and the culture has influenced the church more than the church has influenced the culture. I mean, I consider we have more Christian books and Christian entertainers and Christian movies, but yet the nation keeps slouching towards, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that I did want to point out was...
Still there, Irene? I lost you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying something.
Oh, no, go
there
ahead.
Was a study that came out, was published last year by Michigan State University, and it was the truth behind racial disparities in fatal police shootings. And what they concluded is they found that the race of the officers didn't matter when it came to predicting whether Black or white citizens are shot. You know, and it was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
Yeah.
I believe that the race issue is being, you know, there's a left doesn't want it to go away. And so they keep jerking the chains of people that feel disenfranchised, or people that believe that everything that happens bad in their life is because of white privilege. So, you know, it is, there are forces out there that do want to cause division and destroy
us. Absolutely. Yep.
And that is Satan, as you mentioned.
Oh, kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, isn't that what we're seeing all over the place? Kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes, and precisely because we are one of the nations, in spite of all our flaws, we send more missionaries
That's
around
right.
the world. We
yeah.
have been a light That's to right. the dark world. How many white doctors have left the comfort of this country to go to Africa and these places and fight Ebola and fight some of these diseases?
Sure. Yeah, we definitely, as a nation, and I appreciate you calling in today and sharing all that, Irene. That's really great perspective and great information, and that's so true. And there hasn't been another country in the history of the world post-Christ that's been used of God like we have. Now, we've got all kinds of sin on our ledger, just like we do as individuals. But in terms of impacting the culture, impacting the gospel with the gospel, missionaries, charitable work at, both at home and around the world, intervening in what happened in Europe and World War I and World War II, especially World War II, and how much of our own blood we've shed to help other people, including the Civil War, And it's just, we have a target on our back. But we've also largely as a nation turned away from God. What do you expect? Godlessness rises up when the people turn away from the Lord. That's just normal. Have you ever read the Old Testament? Time and time and time again. Let's go to Meredith, who's calling in. Meredith, thanks for calling. Sorry to keep you waiting. Go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. I just, you know, I hear all day long both sides of the fence here, whether it's, you know, for the Black Lives Matter or for the, you know, people who say, listen, you know, you got to cut it out. You know, life goes on. I really feel like we are at a turning point here, and I would love to hear more people talking about unification of all people.
Yeah.
This country's in bad shape right now, and it's offensive when I hear anybody talk about either side and dismiss the other side. We have got to find words that heal.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think that's something, and I really appreciate you calling in, Meredith. Thanks for sharing that. We'll get to Cassie from Florida on the other side of the break, but if you want to call in and share on that, and I want to speak to what she just said, 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, and what is the ultimate unifier? Well, look in history. What's been the ultimate unifier? Is it money? It isn't. Is it job? It isn't. Family? No, not even that. There's plenty of families destroyed. That's one of our problems in America. The ultimate unifier is the gospel. But Barna research over the last 15 years says the average American evangelical, 95% of us never share the gospel with anybody. We stop evangelizing. The country gets further and further away from God, becomes more and more secular. And what's the fruit off that tree? You're learning about it every single day. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Unless, of course, you would like to see some United States of America, like our last caller was talking about. You know, we talk about this is wrong, that's wrong, this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle, but let's not forget that there actually is reconciliation available first between man and his creator with the gospel, and then between man and him and each other. By the way, that covers the entire Ten Commandments. First four commandments, our relationship with the Lord, and the rest, our relationship with one another, the vertical and the horizontal. You want to deal with everything that's happening in the country, in a family, in a relationship, in a business, in a friendship, get the gospel right, the gospel of reconciliation. And then when we show up together on opposite sides of a protest or whatever, then we go, okay, what do we have in common? One Lord, one baptism, one spirit, the word of God. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're one people, neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, rich, poor, white, black, otherwise, male, female, young, old. The gospel evens all that out, and we begin to love each other. That's why you see in some of these protests, when you see the actual Christians stepping up and taking a knee, not to one another, but to the Lord. I'm not bowing down to any man. I bow down only to the Lord. Okay? I can ask your forgiveness if I feel like I need to ask you for your forgiveness. I don't need to get on my knees to do it. I need to look you in the eye and ask and tell you, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Let's reconcile. I don't have to take a knee to do that. I'm only taking a knee for the Lord. So we got all this stuff going on in our country. So are you positive? Are you negative? Do you think we can go back to some great glory in this country? Or do you think we're going to have to find a new normal? And for us as Christians, that should add a whole other element to it for all of us. If you want to chime in on that, 866-348-7884. We'd love to hear from you today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Cassie, who's calling in all the way down in Florida. Cassie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I used to know you back in Raleigh, North Carolina when I lived there 20 years ago.
That's awesome. So good to hear from you. How did we know each other?
My cousin taught your kids swimming lessons.
Oh, that's right. Okay, got it. I'm right with you. Mr. Dan, uh-huh. I'm right there with you.
You got it.
Oh, that's so cool. Great to hear from you. Go ahead. I'm glad you called.
Well, I've been watching everything going on, and it's so a shame that they don't teach history like they should anymore.
Yeah.
If they knew history, why would they destroy Abraham Lincoln's statue? Why would they destroy those that regiment, the 54th Regiment? These are all in support of Black Lives Matter. And if they don't learn their history, we are going to repeat it. I keep seeing this looking more and more and more like we're getting into a Holocaust again. And it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary, and it's very sobering, and people don't understand history, and so they haven't, and they don't understand. They'll take some things from history that might drive their personal agenda, or hopefully for them, for a lot of people, will explain some of the trials and tribulations that they've had in their life, or will erase any personal responsibility in some cases. And so, but if you don't know history, you don't know the truth, and if you don't know any truth, you're hopeless. This is going nowhere, because if it's all run by emotions, and God, you know this, Cassie, as well as I do, God is emotional, but we're not controlled by our emotions, and our emotions can go south fast because of our sin. But yeah, most people right. just don't know history. Otherwise, why would they be destroying the monument of somebody like Abraham Lincoln? And somebody recently, I just heard this earlier today, there's some people going around now that are saying, we need to tear down the Washington Monument because Washington owned slaves. I'm like, oh my God, really? Really, that's it's just remarkable. It's just total chaos.
But that's all they're getting out of history. If that's all you got out of history
right.
of this great man, then you don't know your history.
That's right.
That's right. And that's what's really a shame is they. I think there's more to it than this, than just the history, but
sure.
that is underlining it, a lot of this.
Yeah, definitely a big problem. Cassie, so great to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Steve. I like the show.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. God bless you. If you want to call in and chime in on any of this, I'm just kind of like an open line Friday thing if you want to chime in. But keep it to the current situation in the country. If you want to talk about COVID, that's fine. We did that for a few months. And isn't it interesting how COVID's pretty much disappeared? Did we solve it? Is everybody healed? Of course not. But the news cycle is just voracious. So things come and they go so quickly. But if you want to call in and chime in, do you feel hopeful about the future of the country? Or are you really concerned? You think, hey, we're altering our future here, and America is not going to be the America that we've known, really up until just, I mean, look at this. It's June 12th. On January 12th, none of this stuff was going on. Not to say that some things didn't need to be dealt with, but largely the lowest unemployment rate we've seen in decades, including in the African-American community. The country just humming along, all kinds of good things happening. And then whammo, COVID. And then whammo, George Floyd. And then the protests, the looting, and everything else. And now we have six blocks in Seattle. They've renamed it CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. And we have entire cities like Minneapolis saying, we're going to get rid of our police. And then we have other cities saying, like in LA and in New York, massive, some of the biggest cities in the country, saying, yeah, we're going to pull funding away from the police and put it into some programs that we think will make people feel good. This is the really insidious part of the Democrat Party, and people don't like to hear this kind of stuff because it's true, and it just messes up so much of the political conversation. And Trump was doing this, you know, in his kind of goofy, sloppy way, but he did this in 2016. He's like, hey, African-Americans that vote for Democrats, how have they improved your lives in the last 20 or 30 years, especially in your city? Because the 10, 20 most violent cities in America are all run, except for one in Texas, they're all run by Democrats. And poverty and joblessness and crime, what do they all have in common? Democrats have been in charge for decades. Now, to say that a Republican going in and Republicans coming in and taking over these cities is going to turn it around all of a sudden, don't be that naive. But you have to believe in people and want to free people. I had that conversation with Bishop Wooden last Friday when we did the show from his office, my slightly older brother from another mother. And I said, you know what would be the problem? You know why the Democrats don't want to see a big city improve? And this is all under the radar stuff. They can never say this publicly. But they need a permanent underclass because that's their power base. If all of a sudden we started to make good investments in the inner city economically, economic development zones, starting to get some money in there, which a bunch of that's going to flee now because of all the looting and the vandalizing. But if we were actually to go in there and begin to have some proper investment and try to figure out a way to help the educational system there and start to build people up and see people become successful. You want to know what happens to people generally that become somewhat successful economically? How do they vote? A lot of times they start voting conservatively. So if the Democrat Party starts to really see some success in a city, that might cost them votes, which would cost them power. And the number one reason for the existence of either political party is to obtain power. Republicans and Democrats both. You know the saying, if I don't win, I can't help. So I got to do anything I can do to win. I got to get in there. If I'm not in there, I can't help. So the Democrats absolutely need to have a permanent underclass, which is why they're so for open borders and a really lax immigration policy. Because people come in, they need government help. I need government help. Who's going to help me? And the Democrats, who are the spenders, that's what liberalism is. You look to the government to solve problems. You don't look to the individual. Because they don't. Another thing you're not going to hear in the public, they don't believe in individuals. The government is your God. In a godless society, nature abhors a vacuum. You get God out of there, what's going to replace it? In this case, in the United States of America, for a lot of people, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to bail me out? Who's going to be my rock and my salvation? I don't know. Who can I vote for that's going to help me? Right? And these are all problems, by the way, of the heart and the mind. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that sounds like a prescription to change the whole thing around. Exactly. No kidding. There's nothing new under the sun. Which is why it's incumbent upon us as Christians to continue to preach a prophetic biblical message way more than we preach a political message. Now, if you get into the political realm, like my buddy Fred Von Cannon here is running for the North Carolina House, Fred Von Cannon, you should vote for him or at least support him because he's a brother in Christ. When you're in the political realm, you operate in the political realm, you work with those tools. But as a Christian, so I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not bowing down to anybody. I'm only bowing down to the Lord. So you go into the political realm, you bring the truth of God's word with you. You're going to have to be shrewd as a viper and gentle as a dove. And you can be successful, but you never stop. I got to separate my Christianity from my politics. No, you don't. That's why I don't understand people that can vote for pro-choice Democrats or any pro-choice candidate and claim allegiance to the God of the Bible. I don't get that. I'm not your judge. I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how you sleep at night with that. And I know there's other issues. Woo! We got some problems. All right, when we come back, I shared this on Facebook the other day. Bevelyn Beatty is a rather outspoken African-American woman. Her video has gone viral. She's very tough. She's addressing white conservatives, white liberals, and black people. I'm going to play just a clip, and she's going to be with us next Wednesday. We'll be right back. Okay, attention white conservatives, attention white liberals, and attention African-Americans. Bevelyn Beatty is an activist, very strong, involved in pro-life. She grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then she moved north, up into the Northeast. And I think she ran for office out there. But recently, she puts up a lot of videos. She does a lot of Facebook Live. Very outspoken. And she had one recently talking to white conservatives, white liberals, and black people. It's about 18 minutes long. It looked to me like she was having lunch outside of a Panera. And she... When I first started watching it, and I'm like, she's talking to white conservatives first. I'm like, where is this going? Because you got to stick with it. So this first clip is about a minute and 15 seconds. And I'll follow it up to make sure we all understand this. But I thought it was really healthy and a good challenge. Okay, so this is Bevelyn Beatty, who's going to be on the show with me next Wednesday. Hopefully, we'll probably end up doing the whole show together. But she'll be on the show with me next Wednesday by phone. But this is what she said in her almost a million views now on Facebook Live.
Why is it, okay,
talking to white conservatives,
that you guys can't just tell people the truth? Why is it that you know the truth, but you're so bound by color that you can't tell the truth? I have a question. Are you scared of telling me the truth because I'm black? If I'm wrong, are you scared to tell me because I'm black? Shouldn't you just tell me that I'm wrong? If you know that what I'm saying and the things I believe in have discrepancies, do you feel bound by your own skin color that you can't tell me the truth? Huh? I like to know that. I don't understand why we are not waking up. And I'm addressing the white conservatives first, because I feel like you guys have already kind of took in a stance, a conservative stance, to really stand in truth. And now all of a sudden, I'm seeing a lot of you backing out. I'm seeing a lot of people being bound by their skin color to where they can't tell the truth because they have a certain color of their skin. I'm not understanding that. White people, why? Do you know this is a disjustice to us? Do you know that you're helping? You're just as bad as the white liberal when you feel intimidated to tell the truth just because you're white.
All right, do you get her point? I hope you get her point. So she's saying, you, if you're a white conservative and you're afraid to speak some truth into these situations, which are very difficult, very awkward, you have to be very careful. But if you're afraid to speak the truth, I mean, she's insulted by that, and she, and I think the case she's making is it's actually unloving. Are you afraid to tell me the truth? Are you afraid to speak the truth because you're white and you're worried about how that's going to come across? But the truth is the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you can't be set free. Right? She's going to get back to that. I'm going to get to this caller real quick. Paul's calling in all the way out in Oregon. Paul, out in Oregon.
Yes.
Oh, hi, are you listening online? Because I'm definitely not on the radio in Oregon.
Yeah, I just called. I got the number and I called.
All right, go ahead. Glad you called. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to ask that they still have an apostle and prophet right now.
Were you calling for Michael Brown, I think? I'm thinking that's what he was calling for, Michael Brown, the last show. So I'm not going to do that. I want to get back to this. So that was, and I appreciate him calling, of course. But I want to get back to this because that's what Bevelin was getting at. And do you feel that pressure if you're a white conservative and you want to say some things? Because you can't talk about fatherlessness. You can't talk about, we're talking about racial issues and what's going on. You can't talk about fatherlessness. You can't talk about personal responsibility. You can't talk about crime rates. You can't talk about any of that stuff. You just can't, because all of a sudden you don't care about all the other stuff. You don't care about racial injustice and the challenges of growing up in America being black. By the way, for all my white friends, if you had the choice, you're going to go back and God's going to tell, give you the choice. Hey, you're going to do over. Would you prefer to be born white or black in America? 2020. You're going to do over, white or black. What would you choose? Okay? That should be enough. You understand? But when we don't speak the full truth, and we're not dealing with some of these issues, that's the Democrats. They just say, yes, you're oppressed. Yes, too many people hate you. The Republicans hate you. You're a permanent underclass, the whole pass and everything. We've totally hosed you over. And so the government's going to be your answer. But no personal we don't ever talk about personal responsibility. It's like you can't. But Bevelin Beatty's point was, why are you not telling the truth? If you love me, you'll tell me the truth. If I'm wrong, tell me. Okay? Especially inside the body of Christ, right? Then she talked to white liberals.
White liberals, this is my question with y'all. Why are y'all so deceived? Okay? I got a question. Am I a charity case? Do I look like I'm a charity case? Do I look like I need people to go out with Black Lives Matter signs and protest because I'm being discriminated against? Are you more privileged than me? Am I less than you? Am I just another descendant of a slave? Sweetie, guess what? I pay for my meal just like everybody else here pay for their meal. I'm drinking my water just like everybody else here is drinking their water. And there's people of different races here. Well, I drive a car just like every other race drives a car. I have a nice crib. I got a good job, but make decent money. I got an iPhone or whatever kind of phone. I got internet. I got everything else that any other person of any other race would have. I have every opportunity that any other person of any race would have. So where does the inequality come? And my question to you is this. If you feel like Black people are so discriminated against, and if you feel like we're not treated equally, my question is, did civil rights actually work or was it a failure? Was Martin Luther King a failure? Was the civil rights movement a failure? Because technically, when you stand outside of your nice suburban neighborhood with Black Lives Matter signs, putting me on blast because I'm black, okay, you're basically insinuating that civil rights didn't matter. You're basically insinuating that Martin Luther King didn't matter. You're basically insinuating that the abolishment of slavery didn't matter. It didn't work. So Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington and all these guys just go in the ground, right?
Okay, that's Bevelin Beatty, an African-American woman, saying things that we should all be willing to say. And I think just because I'm white, I'm fair skinned, doesn't mean I shouldn't be able to talk about the truth. Now, I do realize because I'm white and if I'm having a conversation about African-American issues and racism and things like that, in this context, I need to proceed with caution because I cannot understand what that's like. But there's certain, but if we're not going to be willing to talk about all truths, this is going to just be this cycle over and over and over again, and we will get nowhere, which is exactly where the Democrat Party wants to get, is nowhere on this issue. They have to keep a permanent underclass. And she says some other things on this, and Bevelin's going to be on the show with me next Wednesday, okay? I'm going to let her say some things that I'm not comfortable saying. But I agree with her. But we can't, just because you're white doesn't mean you shouldn't speak the truth. You just need to remember to speak the truth in love, be patient, have a lot of grace. Let's listen to the rest of this.
White liberals, listen to me. I don't need your charity case. I am free, baby. And for all of those blacks, black people who want to swear up and down that you're not free because you're black and you're still oppressed, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's because you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ, and you're a loser. Because only a loser don't think like that. I wish I never in my mind thought all my life that I would be oppressed because I'm black. So now I'm basically agreeing with the fact that I'm oppressed and I can't have certain things in life because I'm black. And I'm going to blatantly say it out loud. I'm black, so I don't have equality and I need affirmative actions because I can't get this. I can't get that. Boo, let me tell y'all something. My plate never empty. I eat good. What you mean? It don't matter what color I am. It's about who you are in your character.
All right. So now, does she have a particularly powerful platform or a different platform because she's African-American speaking into these issues? Yes, I will give you that. But where she speaks the truth, and if the truth is what sets you free, shouldn't we be willing to speak the truth? Because if we don't speak the truth to one another, if we don't speak the truth to people that need to deal with some hard truths on both sides of the aisle, Republicans, Democrats, white, black, whatever the issue, if we're not willing to speak to truths, it's going nowhere. Which is why when you speak the truth, you get shouted down. You get pushed down. People don't want to deal with it. Darkness has no fellowship with the light. And people want to stay in the darkness because their deeds are dark. So when you begin to expose and talk about the truth, people that are outside the truth, that's why if I'm having a conversation with a believer versus an unbeliever, those are two different conversations. I'm dealing with a lost person and a found person. With a found person, I'm going to appeal to the thing that takes it out of both of our handles, out of our hands, and it puts it back where it belongs, the foundation of truth, the pillar of truth, God and his word. Okay? I'm good there. Now, when I'm talking to an unbeliever, they don't have the truth in them. And the truth, because it represents a knowable fixed truth, which represents God, which represents judgment for every sin, they don't want to go anywhere near that. You have to actually reject it, Romans chapter 1, suppress the truth and replace it with a lie. Because you don't want to deal with, you don't want to acknowledge truth. Truth is not on your side when you're lost. And that's why if you just preach a nice gospel without hell, if you preach a hellless salvation, that's not even the gospel. So, in this case, with Bevelin, and I'll talk to her, and she'll be with us next Wednesday. I'm going to say, all right, go ahead. What do you have to say to white Christians out here about speaking into this issue? She's going to say, you need to tell the truth. Speak with patience and with love and with grace, but tell the truth. If somebody's torpedoing their own life, you need to tell them the truth, regardless of what skin color they have, regardless of their past. But then you can't just chatter. Bible talks about that. What good is it if you say, I'm going to pray for you, then you walk away and you don't do anything for them? No, if you have the ability to help, you help. So the perfect Facebook post, the perfect tweet, the perfect Instagram meme, the perfect Facebook Live, you think you can solve this stuff in one shot across the bow in social media? You can't. It takes time and relationship and the truth, which is only through Jesus Christ. That's the deal. Woo! Okay, have a great weekend. Let's not be dining on the news of the day all weekend. Let's spend some time with the Lord. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.